Right. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessing to be here with you all. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you again this morning, and we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing, Father, upon us this morning as we look into your word. Lord, we pray that you'd give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Father. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be faithful to you and bring glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Begin in verse 7. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." Just want to kind of start out right there. These are Christ's words, and he's given us some instruction. And he's revealing truth to us. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. These are principles that God has established that apply to all of us. His goal, as we see later, will be that we would seek after God. But the principles are there that, in the physical sense and in the worldly sense, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be opened to you. Kind of to put it in another word here is, whatever you seek in life, you'll find. Whatever you want out of life, you'll get. And you know, a lot of times we think that that is where godliness is, because we're successful. But the reality is we can get all the things that the world has to offer and say that God has blessed us and miss him. But his desire is that we find his will. If we ask, it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. We can find and know God's will. It's in our power. It's a promise that Christ has given us. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Here again, whatever you're pursuing, the door is open to you to do whatever you want to do. The ability is there. The power is there. It's a foundational principle that God has established from the very beginning of time. You pursue something and you'll find it. Years ago, I was studying real estate, and one of the teachers that was teaching a class there said, if you want to be an expert in anything, study it for a year, and you will be an expert in anything you want to pursue. He had learned a principle and taught it, and that is basically the way things work. If you just apply yourself to anything you're doing, you will become an expert. But that's not necessarily what Jesus is guiding us to do. That's the reality. But he's asking us to pursue him. to seek Him, to find the Lord's will. For what man among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will he give him a stone? You know, if your children come up to you, what he's saying here is, if your children come to you and say, I need some bread, I want to eat, it's time to eat, are you going to give them a rock to eat? Absolutely not. Never heard of that. And that's what he's saying whenever it comes to seeking after God. If you asked your Father in heaven the same way you would your father, you would expect your Father to give you what you need. And God is the same way. Or what man among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? Will he? Absolutely not. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? You know, I think we lack, well, the Bible says this, we lack because we ask not. And we ask amiss oftentimes. How much more so will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. You see, he ties these things all together. That we have a Father in heaven that's trying to show us how He wants us to be. He's trying to, you ask and you'll receive. You seek and you'll find, and you'll knock and it'll be open to you. And then after all of that, he tells us, you know, he shows, well, your Father will give just like, you know, if you being a father, you know how to give what's right to your children. And then at the bottom of this, he says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want to be treated. Or you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. You know, it's kind of interesting that he just puts that in there, right there, after he explained those things about seeking the Father's will and knowing the Father's will and doing what we're supposed to do. And here he just tells us the very answer. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. You know, we talked last week about how if you want to be a good father, you know, you need to learn how to be a good son. And you need to be that son that your father would want. Well, it goes a long way. You can just take that wherever you want. You know, how do you treat your elders? Do you want to be treated with respect when you get older? Do you want people to listen to you when you get older? You know, this goes pretty deep here, if we think about it. You know, we want to tell people, we want to be able to talk to people and tell them, give them advice. But young people, are you treating people who give you advice like you would want them to treat you? Are you wanting people to respect your advice like you would want them to receive yours? You know, you can just go on and on with this thought and this idea. Put yourself in the other side of everything. Get past yourself. And this is the counsel that Christ has given us. Treat others the way you would want them to treat you. That is so simple. And yet, probably one of the least applied things that there is in the Bible. That should be our thought in how we live and how we do whatever we do. You know, I thought this week, you know, whenever we're just working, you know, a lot of times we'll go to work and, you know, while we're at work, we'll just do what we have to do. We'll just put our time in. We'll just get by, you know, well, we've got to finish this project, we've got to finish this job, or got to put our time in, got to do so many of these or so much of that, and we'll just put our time in. But then whenever it comes time to get off of work and it's time to do something we really want to do, man, we'll just go at it all day long, just go as hard as we can just to do what we want to do. There's a big problem with that. You know, if we're not doing as much for other people as we would for ourselves, we're not treating others the way we would want them to be treated. You know, I thought about it, been thinking about it this week, just, and I just thought, you know, one thing I learned a long time ago is it doesn't take any more energy to put all your heart into doing something than it does to do something halfway and half-hearted. You spend more energy, you waste so much more energy trying to get out of doing anything instead of just loving doing it. And I just thought, you know, I just look back on my life the last several years and I just thought, you know, I don't know that I've ever worked a day in my life. Whenever you think of work as being some drudgery that you have to go do, I've just learned to enjoy doing whatever I have to do. You know, we may look at a hard task and we may just kind of not want to do it, but once you get in there and start doing it, it just throw yourself into it. You know, we think of children whenever they're playing. You think of what they're doing when they're playing. Well, little girls are taking care of babies and dolls. Well, old people think that's work. Younger adults think that's work. But the children are playing doing it. They're doing the same thing. Children playing with trucks and cars and making things or building things or building sandcastles or just putting sticks together. They're building something. Well, when they get about 18 or 19, they're doing the same thing with bigger stuff, but it's work then. Instead of just going at it like a child. You know, it's not work whenever they're just playing, but all they're doing is practicing. Almost everything a child does playing is just practicing for real life. To do the things that they were, healthy things. You know, you can poke a video game or show watching videos all day long and all that kind of stuff and train them for that way too. But in reality, I mean, if the things that they're doing, the construction things that they're just playing, they're learning how to be an adult. And if they could just somehow keep that same attitude of being happy, going out and putting all their time in, out there playing in the sand pile, they could be just as happy whenever they're 20 or 30 or 40 years old in a shovel, just digging up a ditch. But we get too smart. Do everything. The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. In everything, treat people the same way. If you're working for somebody else, you put as much effort in for them as you do for yourself. Otherwise, you're just stealing from them and piling it on yourself. Whatever your hand finds to do. I mean, it's just this is just a very basic principle. Let's go on to read verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. You know, we've been talking about judging people, and we don't need to judge people. To judging someone else or condemning someone else doesn't elevate us at all, not one little bit. And we try to be kind, and we try to be merciful to people around us. You know, and we want to be merciful to everybody and religion, different just people. And we see good people everywhere. You know, that's the thing about it is if we project what's in our heart. And usually if I've seen people that just think everybody's going to rob them and everybody's going to be a thief and they're just scared to death. And you just have to wonder, you know, is this an honest person or not? But an honest person is just going to trust people and take people at their word and give people opportunities. And even though they might get burned, they're just going to not give up on trusting people. Because there's goodness there, and they're trying to, they project that on other people. But the reality is still, even though we hope the best and can be kind and don't have to be condescending and don't have to condemn people, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. You know, sometimes we want to broaden this road and just think that everybody's just doing okay, you know, because they're nice people and everything's going good. And we just want to think that it's just a really, really broad path. But the reality is still, the gate is narrow. And the way, well, the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there's a lot of people going that way. And right here is the discernment. You know, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 14 says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. There's only few that will find it. What is this mysterious thing that we're trying to find, that we're seeking for, that we're knocking for, that we're asking for? It's right there in front of us. You know, treat others how you would want them to treat you. You know, that's, like I said, it sounds real easy, but how many people actually apply that, even though it's so simple? How many people actually apply, don't judge lest you be judged? How many people actually apply? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You see, actually, the way that God is offering is broad. And it is wide. It's very simple. It's right in front of us. But very few people will take that path. Very few people will actually just take the time to let that get into their heart, get into their mind, get into their soul. You know, I talked to a man this week. It was a real blessing to talk with him. But he's coming from evangelical places and theological places. And, you know, it's so easy for us to pick up a Bible and start seeking, like we were talking about, becoming an expert. People seek to be an expert in the Bible. And they always run to theology. Well, how do you get saved? How do you figure all that out? How do you explain prophecy? How do you do all that? God is not looking for theologians. He doesn't need any more theologians. That's full. He just needs righteous men. You know, when we talk about the Bible, it's the prophet that, you know, he probably couldn't have explained all of the ins and outs. But he saw what was going on. And he saw what was needed. And he just simply told people these plain, simple truths to apply to their lives. You know, God has, like I said, there's no more room in the inn for any more theologians. We don't need all that many theologians. Just need somebody that hears His word and does it. Just a righteous man. And, you know, it's going to be amazing, I think, in eternity whenever we stand before the Lord and Jesus says, well, now tell me, how do you be saved? To a righteous man. And I think there's going to be several of them that say, you know, as far as theologically is concerned, he probably won't even have a clue how to explain it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from bushes of figs, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Jesus said that, talking about the church, He said, you will know them because of their love one to another. How best does that love one to another express itself in making sure you're treating others the way you would want to be treated? You know, He doesn't tell us, well, they're the holiest bunch I've ever seen. That's how you'll know them. And yet, that's the way we try to express ourselves to the world in a lot of cases, in religion. Well, I'm going to be the holiest, most set apart person in the world. But Jesus said, the world will know you because of their love one for another. The world's got religion running out of tears, whether they go to church or not. Religion is dead religion. But people that love one another are a rare commodity. In verse 21 it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter to the kingdom of heaven. Here's the stark reality. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord. And you know, there's a lot of people that call on the name of the Lord today in this country and all over the world. That's what Jesus is saying here. Many will say, Lord, Lord. In fact, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Then it says, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know, this one little sentence here, one little statement, just does away with 99% of the theology that's taught today, the doctrine of salvation. It just makes it void and meaningless. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. You know, we're taught from the very beginning, if you try to earn your salvation, boy, that's bad. That's worse. Jesus said, he that does the will of my Father. You know, I'm all for Paul. But if I have to choose between what Jesus said and Paul, what Paul says, I'm going to go with Jesus. I'm going to look at what Paul says through listening to what Jesus said instead of trying to interpret what Jesus said by listening to my theology or what Paul says. You get those two things backwards and you will be all messed up. Confused and unable to understand how you can do anything. But Jesus said, not everyone who says to me. Who are we going to be standing in front of? He's saying, you're going to be standing in front of me. And not everyone who says to me will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me, you know, Jesus, the one that everybody's talking about and everyone's saying, Lord, Lord, they're all going to say to him, Lord, Lord, didn't we sing in your name? Didn't we pray in your name? Didn't we say hallelujah in your name? Didn't we say all kinds of things? I'm saved in his name. Didn't we say all those wonderful things? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Well, we don't break the law. I haven't sinned in years. How could he's not talking to? He's just talking to those people that are absolutely lawless. But over here in verse 12, he talked to us about the law. And everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Well, I'm religious. I don't have to listen to them people. I don't have to do anything for them people. I don't have to love them. I don't have to go out of my way for somebody in church. They're just not quite where I'm at. I don't have to love them. Jesus said, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. It doesn't matter who they are. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. You know, we ask people what the rock is. Well, that's Jesus. That's what they say. And it is, he is the rock. But the rock in this instance, listen what it says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. That rock we're building on is by hearing his words and applying them to our lives. That's the rock that we're building on. That's the rock that'll stand. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them, those that hear these words and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Well, that didn't fit my doctrine. Wow. You know, a lot of times we treat other people nice because they're going to treat us nice. Do you know what I've found? That the more that you try to just do what Jesus wants us to do, it's not going to be recognized by the world. You know, we're all pretty good to each other whenever everybody's pretty good to us. And, you know, it's nice. Our community is that way. You know, everybody's nice to everybody and everybody's kind to everybody, and it's a little piece of heaven when everybody just is nice and kind to each other. But whenever we do this, not just because we're just being nice because everybody else is nice, but we're being nice because we're actually in tune with God and we have His Spirit, and it's going to be rejected, just like Christ was rejected. Whatever good you do, sometimes it'll just, people will just despise that and hate it. You won't fit in. You won't belong with the world. That crowd that just everybody likes each other, gets along. You put Jesus in the middle of it, and it just doesn't fit anymore. That's the storm. We're going to go through a storm, and sometimes it's difficult. Jesus was despised and rejected by man. You know, if we're just doing this for our credit and for to get along with everybody and exalt ourselves, we're not building on a very solid foundation. You know, we expect or want to treat others, or we're we're taught to treat others the way we would want to be treated. But you know, very likely you're not going to be treated the way you would want others to treat you. And that's where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. Who are we doing this for? You know, even whenever we treat others, you know, the way we would want, and then others don't do us the same, we want to just kind of write them off or get mad at them or get upset with them and just reject them. But that's whenever we still have to treat others the way we would want to, not the way they treat us. You see, the world will treat itself just fine, just as long as you treat me the same way. But it's when they don't treat you the way you wanted to be treated, that's when we have to do it and choose to follow the Lord anyway. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Ask, seek, and knock. You will find whatever you ask, seek, and knock for. May it be the kingdom of God. You don't have anything you'd like to share?
Amen to the message. I used to say that the way how I was raised, kind of like blame it on that. But the more you actually, when you put the rubber to the road, you find out that every man knows right from wrong. So being able to apply it and then getting a foundation by doing it, by hearing the word and doing it, start building on the correct foundation instead of seeing as you tend to look back and say, oh, I was raised this way, how come I did those things? You don't really have that excuse, actually.
All right. Praise the Lord.
What you said about the difference between a prophet and a theologian, Jesus, the 29th verse there, right after the crowds were amazed at his teaching, he's teaching him as one having authority and not as their scribe.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that we can, just like you said, have that, appreciate that we can have all this right or whatever. But then a man of God can step up and say something or be the way it needs to be, that carries more authority. Because apparently the scribes, they just said what it said, they didn't really have any authority.
Right.
Too much. They just said, yeah, that's what it said. Even when Herod asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? So he gathered these men together, they knew it. They knew it. But then doesn't seem like they had. They were pointing to the rider who left them. They were
born. Right. Praise the Lord.
The truth you shared reminded me of the hymn that I listened to yesterday afternoon. The old hymn that I grew up singing. When I shall reach the more excellent glory and all my trials are past, I shall be like him. Oh, wonderful story. I shall be like him at last. That right away then the second verse says, we shall not wait till the glorious dawning breaks on the vision so fair. Now we may welcome the heavenly morning. Now we his image may bear. But the simple thing that he's asking us to do is to bear his image.
Mm-hmm.
so many songs talk about heaven and being changed or being different then, which a lot of theologians say, but it's simply now. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Thank you for all your prayers for Ketia, and she's come through the surgery real well. And for Mom, Lord willing, she's planning on having a surgery Wednesday. And so, keep her in your prayers as well. She's doing pretty good. So, all right. Anyone else have anything you'd like to share?
It is Mount Vernon and Lakova singing today.
Okay. Thanks for all your help yesterday in building. All right. Well, God bless you all. Depart in peace.